I can just imagine God the Father and Jesus Christ hearing that worship, that hymn for them, in praise and honor of them. And the best is we get to hear it as well. Special music is so important, and we appreciate it. I know back in Lansing, in our areas, you probably do as well, how much that adds to our services. So certainly are blessed to have the music, the special music, and those who are gifted, which you will see I'm not included, but those who are gifted to praise God in that way. The nice thing about this site is there are all kinds of activities for everyone. And yesterday was family day, and so my wife and I walked down in the afternoon and thought, well, maybe there's something we could get involved in, something we could do. And as we went and walked around and saw the activities, and we thought, well, we could do we don't want to do that. Maybe we could do that, but we'd have to be anointed afterwards. So we thought, we'll wait this out. And so we waited till today, where after services, we can gently walk down the stairs, gently sit down, and gently fellowship and enjoy a good meal. So we're doing our part. If you would turn with me to Matthew 19, and this was talked about earlier in the feast, but I want to look at it in a little different way. Matthew chapter 19 and in verse 16. Matthew 19 and in verse 16. It says, "Now behold, one came and said to him," talking about this rich young ruler. It says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher,'" talking to Jesus Christ, "'what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' And so he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.'" So here's what you need to do. Keep the commandments. "And he said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' And the young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?'" And I can imagine that we have asked God the same thing. "Father, help me to see, help me to understand the things that I need to do to enter your kingdom, to please you, to do your will. Help me to understand that." And this young man wanted that understanding. And Jesus said to him in verse 21, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." You ask the question, I'm giving you an answer. Here's what you need to do. But in verse 22, "But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." He wasn't willing to go the distance. He wasn't thinking in a mature spiritual way. Something was missing. Something was lacking. I grew up in a small town with a population of less than 2,000 people, just a little rural town. And throughout the years, had buddies, other kids I hung around with. We developed good, solid friendships. We played and hung out together, exploring all of the things to be explored around a little town. All of the unknown, all of the forts we could build, all of the things we could do to explore. And we dreamed one day about each one of us making our mark on the world as we grew into adulthood, as we matured and moved on. We had so many things in common, we couldn't imagine never being friends, never having that lifelong bond together, doing all of these things together. But times changed. We grew up. We matured. We began to have other interests. In high school, there were sports. There were girls. There were other things that took our interest. And so we began to go different ways. The time we spent together became less and less. Some of those childhood dreams faded. Were no longer meaningful because we had moved on to other things as we matured in our thinking. Now, many years later, most all of us have matured into adulthood. None of us became powerful heads of state. None of us married a beautiful Hollywood model. None of us became an industrial leader. But most of us matured into responsible sons, husbands, fathers, friends, and respected neighbors. So we all moved on. But when I go back to that village, I go back there often. Go back and visit the cemetery, look around to see how things had changed. Even in these little towns, so many things change. The sad part is when I see some of these former friends that have never matured into adulthood because they're comfortable. They stayed within those little boundaries, those little village limits, because it's safe. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen. Nobody demands too much of me. People know me. I'm comfortable here. And they don't realize what they're missing. They don't realize there's a whole big world beyond those village limit signs that they could excel in, that they could reach their real full potential. But they chose not to do that because they're comfortable. And I can understand that. I like to be comfortable. I would like to be in this room and just sit back in a corner and watch people. I watch people real well. It's when I have to talk and mingle and interact that makes me nervous because that's not my comfort zone. And I understand this. But the sad reality is they don't benefit from what they could have, what they could experience. What about you and me? We've been called into the body of Jesus Christ. Something very different than we knew for many years, those of us that were called into the church as adults. A new experience. And we are called here by our Heavenly Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to reach our full potential, to dare to step out, to not get too comfortable, but to reach out and accept and take what God is offering us. And that offer is eternal life in the kingdom of God. When we're first called, we're like little children. We dream about the wonderful future that God has for us, that we read about in Scripture, but we're just not sure how to get there. So many new things to learn. So many village limit signs to cross, to step out in areas that we've never been before. And we realize very quickly we can't do this on our own. There's no way. Because if it's up to me, I'm going to be back in the corner where I'm comfortable, where it works for me. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And this is what's great. We don't have to do this alone. This is not understanding that we came to see on our own. The truth of God, God's plan, is all something that we understand, not because of anything we've done, not because of any education we've gotten, but because God has given us the spiritual wisdom through His Holy Spirit to understand His plan, to understand our future, to understand what we need to do to grow, to mature, to become more like God. 1 Corinthians in the second chapter, verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. So much more than we had ever imagined. So much more than we had ever dreamed about or thought about is God's gift to us. Is the future that God has waiting for us in His kingdom. And we just didn't understand that. And we could have never understood it without God opening our mind and giving us His Holy Spirit and this understanding so that we can truly mature spiritually and not be afraid to make a move, not be afraid to stand out, not be afraid to trust in our God. In verse 10 it says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Once we understand that, it becomes a little easier. Because we know we have to look to God. We have to trust God. We have to seek God's help. Because we understand of ourselves, we can't do much of anything. But we understand we can move ahead. We can mature in the body of Jesus Christ through God's Holy Spirit. The church has dealt with growth. Spiritual growth since its inception. People get comfortable. People don't want to change. People want to do what seems right to them. And Paul dealt with that. If we look over to chapter 3, Paul is giving some very important instruction here. And he said, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I remember when we first began attending church that there were many sermons that were over my head. I didn't get it. What are they talking about? We began attending in the spring in the holy days, and I think one of the questions, they were even talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, and I think they asked for a show of hands who was going to the feast. And so I looked around. Everybody had their hand up. I had mine up too. I didn't know what he was talking about. If they're going, I'm going. Just didn't understand it. And then as I begin to understand it, and I've got to save 10%. I make nothing. And I've got to save 10% of that nothing to go off with my family to worship God. Didn't make sense. But as we go on through the years, it begins to make sense. As we mature spiritually and allow God to work with us and help us to have that understanding, it becomes clearer what God is doing. But Paul goes on here in verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? And we can be that way. Even though we have God's Holy Spirit, even though we don't want to be that way, we can be. We can argue over silly things that really are meaningless to God. But they can cause us all kinds of problems because we become carnal. We're comfortable there in our own skin. But we need to allow God to work in us through His Spirit. And reading this certainly indicates we can't remain as little children. Paul is saying we need to move on. We need to grow. We need to step out there. We need to seek God and seek His help. We can't count on our dreams, our childhood dreams, because what they get us is some fond memories. But we have to grow. We have to mature spiritually. And that's the question for you and I. And I have to ask myself that a lot. Am I maturing spiritually? Are you maturing spiritually? How are we at this feast compared to last year? How was our year in the body of Jesus Christ? Did we overcome? Did we make headway? Did we step out to uncomfortable places? Because that's what God expects us to do. And we can only do that with His help. Let's turn to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. Again, very familiar scriptures. Romans chapter 12. We have to be aware, we have to be on guard, and that's why it's so important that we always dress ourselves with the armor of God. Be prepared. Be prepared to be attacked. Be prepared to defend what God has given us. In Romans 12, in verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't get comfortable. Don't just sit back. Those rocking chairs look good. But we can't get comfortable. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's what we need to seek. God's will. That should be our desire, to live our lives according to God's will and not our own. In verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. God has given us all the tools, all the knowledge that we need, brethren. And we probably could find a sense of comfort in our life, if we just went along with the way the world does things, not standing out, not being different. We wouldn't upset our family and friends if we went ahead and observed Christmas or Easter or Halloween. Make everybody happy. We might be able to have that great job or keep that great job that we have if we would only work on the Sabbath. Now, not every Sabbath. That's too much. But only the Sabbath when the boss really needs you. So that's something maybe we could compromise on. Or is it? And as a student trying to do our best to get good grades in school, it would be easier for us if we didn't upset our teacher, professor, by packing up and leaving 2 weeks after school starts to go to some unknown or unheard of religious convention, conference, whatever it is. But wouldn't it be so much easier just to not rock the boat? To just go along with that? Nobody's mad at you. Everything is good. But we just read, not to conform to this world. God has called us to something greater, much greater than this world could ever offer us. Romans 8:18 tells us, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us." And as time goes on, as we understand more and more of God's way, as we continue to mature spiritually, we see what God has to offer. And this world doesn't begin to compare at all. We're here at the feast. We have been invited to be here. We have been asked to come and rejoice and worship and praise the one who provides us with everything. And he loves us more than right now we can truly understand. But we are here. We are here. We stepped out of that comfort zone. We made the move. Could have been very difficult for some. Could have been a major decision for some. But you're here. You did it. Leviticus 23, if you turn with me there. Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. Again, very familiar scriptures, but sometimes I need that to really take those in. The meaning. What does that mean to me personally, what God is saying here? Leviticus 23 and verse 1, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, The feasts of the Lord, God's feast, not mine, not yours, not the world's, but God's feasts, which you shall proclaim to be holy. No one can make anything holy except our Creator God and Jesus Christ. And God has made this time holy, to be a holy convocation. These are my feasts." And to be invited here, can we understand the magnitude of that? To be invited to the Creator's feast, to enjoy, to benefit from all the blessings he gives us, to reap the harvest of what we've done throughout the year, and to take part of that, and to come here and enjoy and worship our God together, and grow together, meet new people, new family members, to come out of that corner in the back and just step out and reach out your hand and meet someone new. Not easy. I've been doing this for a long time. Still as scary today as it was the first day. It really is. And I'm sure many of you feel that same way. But that's what God has invited us all to. To come here and rejoice together as family. To help each other. To lift each other up. and to enjoy the abundance that he's given us. We're here because we believe these feast days are holy feast days, as declared by God. Days set apart to spend precious holy time together, you and me, with our Creator and our Savior. And we are commanded to be here. These holy days are commanded days, just like the weekly Sabbath. Thank God for the weekly Sabbath. He has sanctified a 24-hour period each week. And as you all know, some of these weeks can be tough. But we have the Sabbath every week to look forward to and to join God and to join each other in conversation that's positive, talking about our future as kings and priests in the kingdom, helping to teach a world what God has taught us. How exciting is that? Deuteronomy 12, if you turn there with me. Deuteronomy 12. Nothing new. This world's pull, this world's influences, nothing's changed. Our nature hasn't changed. But we have to rely on God to help us to change it. Help us to be strong. Help us to think in a spiritual way. But God warned the nation of Israel as they were going into the promised land. Here's something you need to be aware of. Watch yourself. Don't get caught up in anything. It may look good. It may smell good. But don't get caught up in it because it's not good for you. In Deuteronomy 12 and in verse 29, when the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed. Follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did this nation serve their gods? I also will do likewise. And we could get caught up in that. It's easy to go out and look and see other people enjoying certain days, certain traditions, and they're having a great time, and everybody's happy, and everything's sparkly and shiny. Trading gifts. We have to be careful, brethren. We have to realize what it is. We have to be careful not to get caught up in that. And in verse 31, you shall not worship the Lord in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. God is in charge. And as we go on, as we grow spiritually, as we mature spiritually, we understand that more and more. God is in charge. We need to trust him, rely on him, seek him every day. And I've said it many times, but when you get up in the morning, you don't know what's on the other side of that door when you leave your house. We have a way to protect ourselves. We have a God that's waiting to hear from us, that wants to protect us, wants to be a part of our day, wants to be a part of our life. So we begin our day by asking God in to our lives. We need you, God. We need your protection. We need your wisdom. We don't know sometimes what conversation we're going to get into with someone. And we need that wisdom so that we can represent our Creator God as He should be represented. It's not always easy to live our lives according to God's will. We know that. Life can be difficult. This world doesn't live according to God's will. We're a very small group of people around this world who believe and have a desire to obey God and live life according to His way and not our own. We've chosen to follow the people. We've not chosen to follow the people on the wide path that leads to destruction. But instead, we've chosen to take the narrow path that leads to eternal life. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. We're a minority, big time. We stand out sometimes, big time. Our children do. In school, I remember our children in school, and sometimes they came home and they were very hurt because of something someone said to them around Christmas, Easter, feast time. They put up with a lot, but they endure it. We endure it, and by our example helps our children to see that it can be done. We stand up for God. We stand up for His truth. Three things can help us to mature spiritually. There's more than three, but three things. Number one is our faith. Our faith in a Creator God that we believe in, that we trust, that we seek to be a part of our lives. Hebrews 11:1, if you turn there. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's difficult sometimes. We've not seen God. We've not seen Jesus Christ. But we believe with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our body, that He is real, that He exists. We have evidence in our lives, evidence through prayer, evidence through healings. We seek God in times of stress. When we don't have the answer, we don't know what to do, we go and seek our God through our faith, trusting that He hears our prayer and thanking Him when He answers and giving Him all the praise for being there for us. Without our faith, we wouldn't even be here celebrating God's feast, because it wouldn't matter if we please God or not. We would probably end up as millions around the world do and not even believe that He exists. Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, and it gives us many examples of those who through their faith and maturing spiritually because of that faith are now awaiting the return of Jesus Christ, awaiting that time when they'll be resurrected to spirit beings, no longer bound by carnality, by the flesh, but are receiving that reward that God promised of eternal life in His kingdom. Abraham, father of the faithful, was promised an heir, believed God, waited on God God delivered. Not on Abraham's timetable, but on God's. But then after the heir was given, then God required Abraham to sacrifice that heir. Through faith, Abraham trusted God. He was willing to follow those instructions. After waiting so many years for God to deliver that promise. And that promise went right on down. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, all down through history, by faith, people did amazing things, overcame amazing things because they trusted God. And we see these examples. And in verse 38 of Hebrews 11, in verse 38, talking about all of these faithful saints, all of these people who served God, who believed God, who trusted God. In verse 38 says, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing what God has called us to? To be named with these people, these faithful servants of God. To be included in that. Through the many hardships, their faith in God grew. They stepped out of their comfort zone. They matured. They understood how wonderful and how powerful God is. So our faith will help us to mature spiritually. The second thing is our hope. Our hope. Our hope in a resurrection. Our hope in a light beyond what we have here today. With all of the pains and all of the sorrows and all of the misery that mankind has brought upon itself. Our hope. And that hope will be talked about on the eighth day. The hope of the future. But that hope keeps us going. That hope helps us to realize that it's going to be much better than it is. That our God has made a promise. And our God does not lie. And he will deliver on his promise. 1 Peter 3:15, if you turn there with me. 1 Peter 3:15. Very important for each one of us. We've heard this verse read many times. Again, I would ask myself and you to really take this in. Think about it. What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Can we do that, brethren? Can we do that? Is that our hope for eternal life in the kingdom of God? And that we trust God? And that through our faith, we believe God? Sadly, we live in a world without hope. A world that's confused. A world that has major problems. That can and would, without God's intervention, destroy not only the world, but all of mankind. without God and our lives, all hope of the future is gone. Proverbs 14:12 tells us there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Without God, man just doesn't know. Doesn't have that wisdom to solve problems, to work things out, to grow to love one another as we do in the church of God. We want to love each other as God loves us. The hope we have and the hope for all mankind is Jesus Christ. He came. He sacrificed his perfect life for each one of us. Because of the love that he has for us. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And in verse 14, Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 14. Says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confessions. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Jesus Christ, our hope. The one who has experienced life on this earth as we do, and understands us, brethren, understands what we go through, understands the difficulty, understands the pain and the sorrow that we deal with. But he also understands the joy of being with his heavenly Father for eternity, and that is our future as well. So we have faith and we have hope. And the third thing is love, brethren. Love. Love for our God, our Creator. Love for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And brethren, love for each other. That's so important that we grow in that love. How do I love 400 strangers? I don't know. But God does. My way is one at a time and very carefully. But God can help me as he can help you to truly have that love for each other. I've always wondered, what would it be like to experience love in the way God experiences love? I want that, and I know you do as well. God offers that to us. He offers that to us. Love, sadly, is a word that's thrown around with not much meaning anymore. Doesn't mean much. But God hasn't changed. John 3:16, we all know what that says. But it says so much. It says so much, and it's so meaningful to each one of us. Because we understand it. We understand the spiritual meaning here and what it means not only to our future, but to the future of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for you and for me because he loves us. How amazing is that? Galatians 5, 22 and 23 talk about the fruit of the Spirit. What's the first listed there? Love. Love. So important. We live in a world that doesn't have that. You and I are called out as children of God and are commanded to love one another. God says, you need a little nudge, I'll give it to you. I'll help you out. Any of us who have siblings know that sometimes you don't always agree. Just happens. The sad thing is, if you're not the oldest, you know your oldest brother or sister are always right because they tell you they're always right. But when we were young, our parents had a way of dealing with us. Help us to see a little clearer. Help us to work things out. Our mom or dad may make us apologize to each other. They might make us wrap our arms around each other and hug. And that's okay if you're brothers, but if you have to hug your sister, yeah. But our parents know what it takes. Got to do something about this. Let's get this back where it needs to be. Getting them to realize they have each other. They need each other. And a little hug now and then, and a little I'm sorry now and then. It's not all that bad. Sometimes it's tough to do, but it works. To say I'm sorry and I love you. Relationships are destroyed, brethren, because sometimes we might refuse to say those things. But we have to say those things. Because that's godly love within us. We understand that. If we don't understand that, then something's holding us back from maturing in a spiritual sense. We need to be there. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 says, God has given us a gift of his Holy Spirit. A spirit not of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. That's what God has given us. That's what he expects from us. You and I are not the same people God first called into this church. Physically, some of us may look pretty much the same. Some of us are getting older. And that's okay. But along with that, I hope we're getting spiritually wiser. That we're maturing. That we have a deeper understanding of what God is doing with his church. What about the past year? Since the last feast, have we matured spiritually a little bit? Is our knowledge of spiritual things grown? Do we see clearly things that we didn't see a year ago? Understand things a little better that we didn't understand last year? Hopefully, brethren, that's the case for all of us. That pleases our Heavenly Father, and it takes effort. Sometimes it takes guts and sweat and fear and all of that good stuff. But we have to do it. We have to step out. Our faith in a God who wants us to become his spiritual children, to live in his kingdom for eternity. It's what keeps us on the narrow path. It's what helps us to mature in a spiritual sense. Our hope. Our hope in a future free from the pain and suffering of this world. Free from the sin that has caused mankind to destroy almost everything that he's touched. a future free from a spirit being that hates God and that hates his creation. A future when that being is removed and no longer a threat to anyone. Our love for a Father who has called us and loves us so much that he was willing to give the life, the perfect life of his only begotten Son, who now sits at his right hand, interceding for you and I, explaining to his Father why Mike does some of the crazy things he does, why he's weak in this area or that area. Because Jesus Christ understands what we deal with sometimes here as human beings. But brethren, let's not be like the rich young ruler. He had so much. He had so much. He was in services every Sabbath. Probably helped with the potlucks, cleaned the bathrooms, served, greeted, did all of those things. There every week with a smile on his face and his hand held out. But he was missing something. He was missing something. He was missing that spiritual understanding of what God was doing in his life and wanted to do in his life and where God wanted to take him and the reward God wanted to give him. He was missing that. We can't miss that. We can't miss that. The feast is a great reminder of our future. When we, as spiritually mature beings, will work along Jesus Christ to serve those in this world who are just beginning to get up enough guts, enough strength to take that step outside of those village limits that they're so comfortable in, and to step out and trust God as we've done over the years and as we need to continue to do. So let's take everything we get out of this wonderful feast, the messages, the fellowship, all of these activities, and the prayers for each other. How amazing that is. But let's take all of that and realize, I couldn't have done that. But with God, we did it. And we're doing it. And we'll continue to do it. So let's think about what God does for us. All of the blessings, all of the gifts, everything he provides for you and I. What a wonderful feast. And I was just looking at the clock, and I remember when I asked Mr. McCoy at the beginning of the feast in our meeting, is there a clock on the podium? And he said, yes. But then he went on to say, there's also a trap door. So I'm thinking I should probably wrap this up and go sit down. But brethren, we need to grow. We need to mature spiritually, and we can do that. We do that every day. We do that in contact with each other, in prayer to our Creator God, in thanking him, and just being here together to enjoy this wonderful gift that God has given us of his Feast of Tabernacles.